You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
When we talk about a house, we can give a number of definitions, but two on this morning that we need to be in agreement about. Number one, a house, when you consider the scripture, has to do with a person or a person's life. A house has to do biblically with a person or a person's life. Let's go to Proverbs, and let me prove my definition to you. Proverbs 3 and 33. Y'all, don't play with me. Go to Proverbs 3 and 33. And notice what Solomon writes concerning a house or a person or a person's life. He says in Proverbs 3:33, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. So you have two different houses or two different types of people. You have the wicked person and you have the just person. Do y'all see it? Now, if a person's home or life is wicked or practicing sin, notice the curse of the Lord is upon their life. Now, oftentimes, young people, when you look at people that are in sin, wicked people, on the surface, it can seem like they have everything together. It seems as if there's no bad times, everything is happy, full of money. But the Bible plainly says if a person is wicked or practices sin, what's upon their life? A curse. A curse. Detrimental and bad things are destined to happen to them. And ultimately, if they don't repent, when they die, the wicked or the sinner will lift their eyes in hell. Y'all see it in the text. But on the other hand, the home or the life of a just person is blessed. And how many have made their decision on this morning? It's no in between according to the verse. Either your home is wicked or your home is just. It's no in between. And if a person is wicked, they're cursed. But on the other hand, if a person is just or living by faith, they are blessed. And I want the blessing of the Lord. What about you? It's the blessing of the Lord, the Bible says, that makes us rich and adds no sorrow. Now, at the same time, you can look at a just person's life and you can just see suffering. You can see problems. It can seem as if it's not worth being just. But you got to remember this verse. I'm blessed. And just folk or righteous folk, young people, go through various afflictions in life. You're going to have problems. You're going to have disappointment. The Bible even says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So no matter what you go through as a just young man or young woman, your destiny is deliverance. God is going to make sure you go through it, but you come out of it. And if you're going through something right now, that's good news. I said if you're going through something right now, that's good news. You just have to endure the suffering Because if we suffer with him, the Bible says we will reign with him. How many understand that a home has to do with a person's life? By show of hands, how many are with me? Let's look at what Jesus taught. Let's go to Matthew 7. And this is going to tie into what I was dealing with just a moment ago. Notice what Jesus says in Matthew 7 and 24 about a home. And let's look at Matthew 7, 24 and 25. Stay with me. Jesus says in verse 24 of Matthew 7, therefore, whoever hears these sayings or teachings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house or his life on the rock. Notice 25. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house or on that person. And it did not fall, for it or their life was founded on the rock. See, I want you to understand something. In life, young folk, floods are gonna come. Winds are gonna come. Notice, and it's gonna beat on the house. Sometimes in life, you'll take a beating. Sometimes in life, young folk, you will go through things that will just be painful. You'll go through things in your mind. You'll go through things in your money. You'll go through things in your emotion. And sometimes it seems like as soon as you get better, here come another storm. And it's just beating. Them winds are just beating. Them floods are just beating. Do y'all see it in the text? And it seems like the rain and the storms will never stop or cease in your life. That's why it's important to make sure your house or your life is founded on a rock. And the rock being the word or God. See, as long as our life is centered on this word, no matter what comes, we can take a lick, but we can keep on ticking. Yeah, you don't have to pop pills. You don't have to smoke weed. You don't have to drink. You don't have to run away from your problems, because storms are a part of life. And no matter if you are wicked or just, again, you're going to have some storms in your life. The important thing as a young woman or as a young man is to make sure that when those storms come, that you're not looking for no easy way out. You make sure that when the storms of life come your way, and they will, and some of you right now, they are, you got to make sure you're standing on the word. Because that's the only thing that's going to help us survive. That's the only thing that's going to help us to prosper. In the midst of our storms, we got to be standing on the rock. And this is Jesus talking. And he knows what young people go through. The Bible says he is our high priest. Listen, and he can be touched by our infirmities. He knows what it's like to go through different things in life and things don't turn out the way you want them to. He knows what it's like to have a plan and it seemed like the plan just ain't unfolding. You remember when Jesus was walking on the way and the Bible says he was hungry? And he saw a fig tree that had leaves on it, letting him know, hey, let me go over here and get some figs. But when he went to the fig tree, he was disappointed. And he didn't get what he was expecting. Sometimes in life, you don't get what you're expecting. But you know what the Lord did? He began to speak the word. He began to speak life out of his mouth because his life was standing or built upon the rock. And sometimes when you go through things in life as a young person and things aren't going the way you desire, you got to do like Jesus and speak that word. You got to speak, this shall pass. You got to speak, all is well. You got to speak, peace be still. You got to speak, he gonna bless me anyhow. Because you're going to go through things, young folk. And sometimes it's going to be disappointing. Anybody in here know about disappointment? Got your little whiteboard, you got your phone with your plans and your 2023 goals on it, and it seemed like it just ain't coming to pass. You got to remember how the Lord used Minister Powell this morning and say you can't give up. I heard the Lord speaking to me, don't get weary in well doing, because there is a harvest, but you can't faint. You can't give up. You can't throw in the towel. And somebody in here trying to front like you ain't got no goals. Somebody in here trying to act like things are all going the way you want. But I know life can be disappointing. That's why it's important, young folk, to make sure your house is built on the rock. Your house, your family, your marriage, your relationships all need to be centered around this word. Because folk will let you down. Situations can turn at the last minute for the worse. The Bible even says things, instead of getting better, sometimes they can get worse. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? She was spending all her money trying to get better, but the Bible says, and she grew worse. But when she heard about the rock, when she heard about Jesus, she knew all hope wasn't lost. And I want to talk to somebody in here. Sometimes you feel like all hope is lost. You got to remember, real hope ain't seen. And even though you can't see things working out, if you have a solid relationship with God, Paul said in Romans 8:28, all things will work together for your good because you love God. And you're called according to his purpose. If your life is built upon just getting a degree, it may not go your way. If your life is built upon just getting a good job, it may not go your way. Are you listening to me? If your life is trying to network and link up with certain folk, it may not go your way. But when our life is founded on the rock, that's a guaranteed thing. It's going to work. Look at somebody and say, the word, it works. How many see that a house is a person by a show of hands? And how many understand by what I've taught thus far, whether you're just or wicked, you're going to go through things in life? Yeah. But it's important to make sure that our house or our life is standing on the what? On the word. Can I get a loud praise the Lord? All right, let's go to Matthew 21. Secondly, a house, biblically speaking, is also considered to be the church. So the house can be a person or a person's life, but a house biblically can also be considered to be the church, the sanctuary. Notice what Jesus taught in Matthew 21:13. Matthew 21:13, Jesus said, and he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Notice, lock in. He says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. My house is a house or a place of worship. And that's what we need to keep it as. This is God's house. And we come in here as young men, young women, and adults to worship him. And how many know when it comes to worshiping the Lord, the Bible teaches that he's seeking for folk that's going to worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit, I'm looking for young folk, young adults, and adults that's going to worship me with the right attitude. That's what spirit means. I'm looking for young people and adults that's in the right headspace. They're coming in here and they're not playing around. May not have the keyboard player, but they still got a praise on the inside of them. may just have the saxophone player, the drummer, and the bass guitar, but they still come in here ready to praise the Lord because they know this is his house, and his house is a house of worship. Anybody came in here to worship the Lord? Anybody came in here to send up a little praise and worship? You may be going through something, but how many know we owe God? I said we owe God. Yeah, we owe God, and we've been bought with a price, and the Bible says that we should glorify our God in our body and with our spirit that are his. I owe God. Sometimes I go through things and I get in my feelings, but I have to put my feelings under subjection and realize I owe God. He done too much for me to be worried about my situations and my circumstances. I got to give him the praise. I'm going through so much right now. I still got to cast these cares on him because I'm in his house. How many know what to do when you come in his house? This ain't the place we come to sleep. This ain't the place we come to play on our phone. We come to worship him. Am I right about it? This is his house. And when we come into his house, as well as leave his house, we need to know how to conduct ourselves. If I'm right about it, somebody shout, he right about it. And so when we get to our text, Paul is teaching the people of God, look, you got to have the same mind. You're just folk. Though you're young, the Lord is expecting us to have the same mind. Same mind. Now, I want you to think about something. From an earthly standpoint or a carnal standpoint, think about how this world programs people to have the same mind. When you go to Carrollton, you know automatically when you see two colors, you know it's Trojan Nation. What are those two colors? Black and gold. When you see the great Wildcat in purple and gold, you're already programmed to know that the greatest school in the county is Villa Rica. Look how y'all looking at me. Yeah, when you hear the Tiger all the way up on 113, you automatically know that that's the home of the Temple Tigers. Yeah, you got the same mind. You're programmed. Yeah, when I make this team, and play football, you want your jersey. Yeah. If your team is wearing black and gold, you ain't trying to come out there in no red and silver looking like Mount Zion. No, you trying to be of the same mind. If you work at Dairy Queen, you're not going to be able to clock in if you go in there dressed like you work at Chick-fil-A. No. This is the land of the foe for foe. You better come in here like you are a part of the team. How many are seeing from the illustrations that I'm giving? Yeah, it's an easy program. Look, it's just you being a part of the same mind. Whether you're at school, when you go to work, they're going to give you a handbook. When you get a job, they're going to give you a handbook or give you a link to the website and tell you to go over the guidelines and ethics, and you can try to pull that. Well, at my other job, they're going to tell you, no, that was over there. But while you over here, this is what we do. On that job, they want you to have the same mind. And we've got to have the same mentality even when it comes to God's house. How many are understanding? Let's look at the wording of what Paul says. Let's look at the wording of Philippians 3:16 and just really break it down. First, he says, let us. Letting us know it's a choice. You and I have got to choose to do what the Lord is putting on the table. Because, see, I've learned you can come to church, young people, but still not have the same mind. And so when you come into God's house, you got to be willing. You got to be willing to choose what God wants you to choose. Let us, everybody, from the pulpit to the porch, everybody, from the pastor on down, let us. We got to choose to do what's being put on the table. Y'all with me? Let us be. Somebody shout be. All right. Now, once you make a choice, the Lord is expecting us to demonstrate that we're in agreement. I don't just want you to talk it. I want you to walk it. You got to show that you're willing to be what God wants you to be. Y'all ever met folk that talk a good game? I mean, they can talk like they gonna do. I mean, they talk a good game. And in this journey, you're gonna bump into folk that can talk a good game. But see, God ain't like that. When I was coming up, we used to have in school a time called show and tell. Y'all remember that? Show and tell. But see, show and tell don't work with God. God is about show and prove. Look at somebody say, don't show and tell, show and prove. Yeah. If you really about God's business, prove it. Be a doer, the Bible says, of the work. What does he want us to be? Same. Now, again, let me reiterate something I said last week for those in the back. We're all different. We got different personalities. We got different likes. Different dislikes. I like to ride roller coasters. You may not like to ride roller coasters. You may pay to get in, but just walk around with everybody. If I pay to get in, I'm riding something. $50? How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah. But just because we got differences don't mean we can't conduct ourselves the same way. We got to be the same. We got to, notice my definition, collect together or come together. You know how disheartening it is to have a sanctuary full of young people that's able to move, able to talk. Let's say you got 75 to 100 young men and young women of God in the sanctuary. 75. But 15 of them agree to come together and praise and worship. And the others just stand there. Do you know that's disheartening? Not when you know that everybody in the sanctuary got breath. Everybody in the sanctuary got breath. And we know the scripture. Whatever has breath need to be doing what? Praising the Lord. Do you think God looks down and see the 15 and then see the other 60 that's just staying? You think he'd be happy with that? We got to come. Got to come together. We got to up that ratio. If I'm right about it, somebody shout, he right about it. And we got to have the same notice, mind. Y'all stay with me. I'm going to deal with some things this morning. We got to have the same what? The same mind. Notice mind. Thinking, beliefs, and perceptions. Again, we may have different opinions, but when it comes to how we think, what we believe, and how we perceive, it needs to be the same. We may have different opinions, and the Bible teaches that's okay. Just don't be wise in your opinion, the Bible teaches. But when it comes to our thinking, our beliefs, and our perception, help me out. We got to be the same. Got to have the same mind. Got to have the same mind, young folk, when it comes to praising God. I'm going to prove to you that we all can do it. Everybody, let's put our hands together and give God a hand clap. Everybody in here. Everybody in there. See, we all can do it. We all can do it. We got the same mind at this moment. At this moment right now. But throughout the service and other aspects of worship in God's house, we got to have the same what? The same mind. When it's time to give, all of us need to participate. When it's time to pay attention, all of us need to pay attention. When you leave here and it's time to do the right thing, all of us need to do the what? We got to have the same mind. The same mind. Why do we need to have the same mind? Look what David said in Psalm 133 and 1. Y'all read it with me. When I pause, y'all pick it up. Psalm 133 and 1. David said, "Behold how it is for brethren to dwell together in." See, when we have the same mind, some good and pleasant things can happen. Good and pleasant things. I said good and pleasant things. And I want good and pleasant things to happen when we come into God's house. What about you? I said, I want good and pleasant things to happen in God's house. What about you? But the key is we got to have the same what? The same mind. We got to have the same mind. So what I want to do in the remainder of my message, as I hit the corner, as we like to say, I want to show us some ways that we can have the same mind in the same house. Because I'm going to tell you something. You ever been at home and you got some members of your family that's clean? And then some members that's nasty, as Sister D shouted. It just don't mix. Somebody shouted, "Don't mix." It don't mix. Let's just go ahead and be clean. Yeah. Everybody in the family unified together so good and pleasant things can happen. Am I right about it? Same thing in God's house. We want to try to get everybody on the same page. That's what we want to strive to do. So let's start in Romans. Romans. Y'all still with me? All right. Romans 1 and notice 17. Again, we're looking at how to be in the same house and have the same mind. Romans 1 and 17. Paul writes, "For in it the righteousness of God is," what's that word? "Revealed." Let's try it again. Same house, same mind. "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." First way we can be in the same house and have the same mind, we all got to be determined to live by what is revealed. We got to be determined to live by what is revealed. See, when God uses the preacher to reveal faith or a message, God expects us to live by it. He expects us to put it into action. Not some of us, but all of us. And so we have to have that determination. You know what? It was taught, it was explained, and I saw it in the scripture. This is what God wants me to live by. Now, when you leave here, you're going to get other messages. You're going to hear other voices. But if you are God's sheep, when you hear these strange voices, you're not going to live by that. You're going to live by what the Lord has revealed because you know his voice, and a stranger, young folk, you will not follow. One of the main voices that you hear is not the devil, it's your It's your flesh. It's yourself. Yeah. That's why Jesus said, if anybody going to come after me, let them first deny himself. That's the main one you're going to hear you here fighting you not to live by what is revealed. It's this flesh. You get in your feelings sometimes. Or sometimes you want to do what you want to do. But God don't want us to live by how we feel. The verse says we're supposed to live by what? The verse says we're supposed to live by what? We're supposed to live by faith. What's revealed? That's the mindset we got to have. When I come into God's house, he's going to use various people, and specifically the pastor, to tell me how I need to think, how I need to talk, and how I need to act. And I got to be determined to live by that. And when we all are doing it, that's what you call having the same mind. How many are with me by a show of hands? Now remember, other things are going to try to creep in your mind, specifically what you want. And remember, Solomon said, you got to be careful not to lean to your own understanding. You got to trust the Lord with all your heart. He's going to give you that word. You got to practice that. And that's what you got to live by. How many of yourself talk to you or your flesh talks to you? And you know it by a show of hands. It's going to talk to you. And in the day and time we live in, there are so many different ways to please this flesh. This society is so sensual, but God wants his young people not to live or to walk by the lust or the desires of the flesh, but to live according to the spirit or the word. And that has to be something that all of us strive to do and have that same mindset. So that means some of us, we got to start taking this word a little bit more seriously and start considering on a day-to-day basis, what is it that God sent on Sunday that I need to live by on today? That needs to be our mindset. How many understand? Don't play with me. Don't lie. How many understand by a show of hands? Number two. So number one is I need to live by what is revealed or sent by God. Number two, write this down if you're taking notes. 2 Kings 5:26. That's going to be the verse we look at, but I need to explain it because it's like 10 verses before it that set up our main verse. 2 Kings 5:26. So what was going on in 2 Kings chapter 5 is that there was a prophet named Elisha. What was the prophet's name? And he had a servant or an armor bearer by the name of Gehazi. There was a man named Naaman who had leprosy. What was the man's name who had leprosy? Naaman. He went to the prophet to be healed, and the prophet told him to go dip 7 times in some water. He had a problem with it. He got in the flesh, but then eventually he decided to obey what was revealed. Y'all still with me? He goes and dips, and then his skin is healed. He went and washed in the water that the prophet told him, and he was blessed. And so he was excited. He went to Elijah and he said, you know what? I got to give you something. I got to give you some offering because you have really blessed my life. Let me give you some talents of silver. And the Bible says he offered to give him 2 baskets of garments or clothing. He said, man, I just want to bless you. And so Elisha heard what Naaman was offering and what he said, and he said, no, I'm not going to receive anything. And his minister, his armor bearer, Gehazi, was right there. He said, no, I'm not going to receive anything, and he turned him away. Y'all still with me? So Naaman left with a great company and all of his money and all of his goods, and Gehazi showed us that he did not have the same mind as his pastor. Are y'all still with me? Gehazi, young people, runs ahead, lies to Naaman, and convinces him to give him the money and the goods that Elisha said he would not receive. He came back to his house, and he hid the stuff in his house, took the money and the clothes and hid it at home. Then went back to his prophet, or went back to the church. And that's where we are now. Are y'all with me? So he done went and did something opposite from the pastor, came and tried to hide it from him, and now he done went back to church. And this is where we are in 2 Kings 5:26. Notice what happened. Then he said to him, or Elisha said to Gehazi, did not my heart or my spirit go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing? Olive groves, vineyards, man, sheep, oxen, male and female servants. He asked him, is it time to? Is it time? The lesson, young people, when you're in the same house as your pastor, it's important to have the same mind, or to have the house spirit. Gehazi did not have the same heart or the same spirit that his pastor has. And Elijah asked him, didn't my heart go with you? See, whenever a young person or an adult does not have the house spirit or their pastor's spirit or attitude, y'all still with me? They'll do like Gehazi. They'll go off, lie, do ungodly things, contrary to what they were taught or what they have seen their pastor do, and then they try to hide it. And then try to hide it. That's what Gehazi did. He went and lived a lifestyle that was different from what he saw his pastor living. And then he tried to hide it from him. And Elijah says to his servant, don't you got my spirit? You were there with me when I was being an example. You was there with me when I was speaking the word. How many times, young folk, have you come to church, heard the word, seen it put into action, but then left and did something else that you wanted to do? See, whenever we conduct ourselves like that, we're saying we don't have the house spirit. We don't have the house spirit. See, it's important, young folk, for you to start learning. The Bible says, imitate your shepherd as he imitates Christ. What Gehazi should have done is that he should have done what he saw his prophet doing. But instead, he was greedy. He wanted the money. He wanted the clothes. He wanted the food. He wanted some servants. Y'all see the list that Elijah put out? But notice Elijah asked him, is it time? Is it time? See, your prophet gonna know the seasons of God. And it's gonna reveal when it's time to receive, when it's time to sow, when it's time to suffer, because surely the Lord God will do nothing except he give it to his servants or reveal it to his servants, the prophet. Young people, I hope y'all listening and learning because I'm laying it down. Y'all soaking it up? Bottom line, when you have the house, just do what you see your shepherd doing as long as it lines up with God's word. You didn't receive no money at this time. Guess what? I'm not going to receive no money at this time. Can I make it a little bit more plainer? During the pandemic, Bishop told the pastors, he said, look, I'm not going to be going anywhere and accepting any engagements during the pandemic. I'm just going to focus on feeding our people and making sure our people are coming to church. As soon as we got out of that meeting, shortly thereafter, I had a couple of people, one that I can remember, were asking me, can you come and do revival? Can you come and minister to our young folk? Now, I done sat in the meeting with my pastor and heard him say what he ain't gonna do. What I look like going out, I just need to follow the pattern or the example. And that's what I did. I said, no, I ain't going anywhere. My pastor's doing such and such, so I'm just gonna follow his lead. That was the house spirit. And I just submitted myself and followed the pattern. See, where many young people mess up, are y'all listening? Is they come to church, hear the word, but leave and follow the pattern of the world. Hear the message, have it broke down, but still live like young people that don't have a relationship with God. No, don't do that. Just follow the pattern. And remember, God gonna reveal your seasons. God gonna reveal your time. It may happen for the world in certain measures or at certain times. But remember, if they wicked, the curse of the Lord is on their life. And it ain't gonna last. The path God has taken us on, it's a sure path. And when you sow into righteousness or do it God's way, the Bible says it's gonna be a sure reward. So you just follow the pattern. Somebody say follow the pattern. Matter of fact, Paul told Timothy, he said, man, you have carefully followed me, my doctrine, my love. And he just named a whole bunch of different things. You carefully followed me. Caleb, young folk, the Lord talked about this young man. He said, look, Caleb had a different spirit. He fully followed me. He followed Moses. What Moses said, when Moses said they could possess the land, he didn't care about no giants. He knew what his pastor said they could do. And he said, well, we're well able to overcome it. Because pastor done taught us to trust the Lord and we can do this. Him and Joshua were the only ones that possessed the land because they imitated their pastor or had the house spirit. And I want to encourage us on this afternoon. Look, just follow the pattern God has set in the house. And when it's time for you to receive, guess what? You're going to receive. But you best believe when it's time for you to suffer, you're going to what? You're going to suffer. But you got to endure the suffering. Because at the end and during suffering, God will cause you to reign. We used to think God will wait till the suffering is over. No, God will bless you while you're suffering. But I got to have that mindset. Just follow the pattern. Somebody shout praise the Lord. All right. So you got to possess the house spirit. I know that was a lengthy point, but how many understood by a show of hands? Yeah. See, the trick of the enemy is to try to get our young people to follow the wrong pattern. Follow the wrong pattern. And finally, let's go to Mark 3. So we're learning. I need to possess the house spirit, right? I need to receive what's being what? revealed, or live by what's being revealed. Last verse, and we're going home. Mark 3, 25. Mark 3:25. And if a house, Jesus said, is divided against itself, that house, help me out, cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself. So now it has to do with the members. We make up the house. We make up the church. We don't need to be divided against one another, because a house that is, y'all gotta come on now, a house that is divided cannot what? So we don't need to promote division. Don't promote division in God's house. Division in this verse, as I close, one of the meanings of division is broken pieces. God wants us to be one, but we can break oneness up into pieces by the way we treat one another, by the way we act. God wants us to be the same on the same page, but we can act real funny sometime and break it into pieces and cause the house to be divided. And if the house is divided, it ain't going to stand. So what do I need to do, Pastor? Notice this, if you're taking notes. Romans 16, 17. I said Mark 3 was the last verse, Lord. This is a reference verse. Forgive me, Lord. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause, help me, divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and do what? Avoid them. So now I got to make sure that I don't cause or promote division, but I need to make sure I take note of folk in the same house who causing division. And don't y'all sit there and act like sometimes church folk don't cause division. Shouldn't be. Amongst the adults, as well as with the young adults. Shouldn't break into pieces or be cliquish. How can I do it, Pastor? How can I promote division in God's house? Spreading rumors. Talking about stuff you don't know nothing about. Lord, we tapped on that last week. Let me tap it again this week. Look at somebody say, don't be spreading rumors. Even if you have to go to court, they'll say, that's hearsay, Your Honor. That's just something that you heard. And you can't believe everything that you hear. Proverbs 16:28. There go another verse. Lord, I'm sorry. But this is a good verse. Solomon said, a perverse man sows strife, but this is for the house. And a whisperer separates the best of friends. You know what a whisperer is? In one sense, somebody who talking messy. Spreading false information or just lies. Notice how powerful it is. It separates the best of friends. A quality friendship, a quality relationship. Gossiping can separate them. Woo! Gossiping in God's house can separate a quality relationship. You know, them two used to get along, but ever since she heard about such and such, but it wasn't true, but she just heard it. It separates the best of friends. How many have learned how to deal with rumors? Just be honest, by a show of hands. Now I'm going to flip it. How many have not learned how to deal with rumors? It's okay. I ain't going to call on you. Let me see your hand. Who ain't learned how to deal with rumors yet? You just got to learn. When you hear stuff, you just got to be like, oh, I don't know. I heard that too. Because you don't know. Refusing to love each other and love God can cause or promote division. You refuse to give me a hug when I see you. That ain't right. You refuse to speak to me and I speak to you. Help me out. That ain't right. You smack your teeth. When I come your way, that's promoting division. That's childish too. Oh Lord. And finally, not properly resolving problems. That promotes division. Now I will agree, there's some things you just need to ignore. Right? But there's some things you just need to deal with it and then be done with it. Look at somebody say, some things you need to deal with and be done with it. Because if we don't, it can cause things to break into pieces. So we don't want to promote division in God's house. We want to make sure that we are in the same house and have the what? The same mind. Y'all got it? I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for the lesson on this morning.